Well, good morning, church. It's great to be here this morning. Welcome to our service here at Lena Vista Baptist Church in Auburndale, Florida. As always, it is my prayer that we will all have a very real and up-close personal relationship with Jesus Christ and a wonderful, real worship service this morning, even a life-changing worship service this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I appreciate it. And I'm going to ask you at this time, if you would, to join me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege that's ours, Lord, to gather. I thank you, Father, that your love is beyond our wildest imagination. Father, I thank you that we can have a time of worship like this wherever we are, in our living room or wherever the case might be. We are the church, Lord. We don't just come to church, so thankfully our worship experience can happen anywhere. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that's ours to share the word of God, to share the songs of the faith, to be able to actually have a genuine, real, up-close and personal worship experience. We might be divided from one another, but Lord, we're not divided from you because your spirit lives within us, Father, and we just ask you to give us that special time together. Lord, I thank you for all that you are. I thank you for all that you do. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory that's yours, and you certainly deserve it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mark.
Thank you, Brother Kenny. Good morning, Lena Vista Baptist Church. Let's continue our worship service by singing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, a perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, loom above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Mission, all is at rest. I and my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Good singing this morning, Brother Kenny.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Appreciate that. By way of announcements this morning, I have some really good news. Amen. According to all of the counsel that I have received and all of the enthusiasm that comes from our association, we are going to have church on Mother's Day next Sunday morning. So I want to announce that to you. There will not be a Sunday school next week. There will not be an evening service next week either, but we will have church here on Mother's Day, and I am looking so forward to it. I want to hug y'all's neck, but I know I can't. We're going to continue to do the social distancing, and one of the ladies in the church here has agreed to provide all the masks that you would need. And I got to thinking about it a minute ago, and I couldn't help but smile just a little bit here. Will you looking out there next Sunday morning and preaching to a bunch of would-be bank robbers? I'm just kidding, actually. I really appreciate the idea that we can do this. It seems like it's been forever since we've been able to get together. I'd also like to say to you, we're going to go ahead and stream that. It'll be on our church website. That's Lena Vista Baptist Church, FL.org. It will also be on Facebook next week. Service time will be 10:45 like normal. Want to let you know that the Wednesday night service next week is still on at 6 p.m. like normal. It'll be streamed. The food ministry on Tuesday mornings from 8 to 10, it will remain open. So if you need food, be here between 8 and 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. The Wednesday night meal and the choir practice, we're still going to leave that suspended till we get a little bit further clearance. I just want to thank you all so much for listening in. And to God be the glory for anything and everything that takes place here this week always. May God bless all of you. I appreciate you and I love you. And thank you for hanging with us through these weeks. God's got our back, my friends. We just got to be smart and do what he tells us to do. Thank you so much. Brother Mark.
Brother Kenny, I have an announcement. Good morning again. The trustee committee was tasked last week to sell the lawn care equipment. As most of you probably know, we contracted that service out toward the beginning of the year. So the committee was tasked with go ahead and try to get rid of some of that lawn care equipment. There are actually six pieces of equipment. There's two riding lawnmowers, a push mower, a weed eater, an edger, and also a backpack blower. For the committee to meet their fiduciary responsibility, we looked in the bylaws, and we have to make a notification 3 weeks in a row before we can sell anything. So with that being said, the point of contact will be myself. If you need my phone number, it is the church has got it. We have until May 18th to show interest. There has already been some interest showed on this equipment, but we want everybody to have a chance. And so if you'll call me, we'll make arrangements to let you see it. But by the 18th of May, which is about 3 weeks away, by close of business at 5 p.m., we should have all that lawn care, I hope, gone. Let's continue our service by singing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now
His grace.
God for our praise song.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer.
Good singing this morning. Before the message, it is so good to have Randy back. He's going to sing for us before Brother Kenny comes and preaches.
Are not hidden. There never was a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you've been broken, your innocence stolen. But I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your S-O-S, your S-O-S. And Jesus says, I will send down an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless, for I am your shelter, I am your armor. But I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear you whisper S-O-S-O-S. And Jesus says, I will send down an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. Yes, I will never stop marching to reach you in the middle of the hardest fight. It's true, I will rescue you. But I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear you whisper, you have nothing left. Help me, Jesus. I will send down an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. Yes, I will never stop marching to reach you in the middle of the hardest fight. It's true, I will rescue you. Oh, child, I will rescue you.
Well, amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Randy. That's awesome, man. I have said this before, and I'll say it again. It's amazing to me every now and then when the music matches up to the message so well. And, Randy, I haven't talked to you about what you were going to sing, but it couldn't have been a more perfect song for where we're going this morning. Last week, I shared with you some things about Joseph's life, and I introduced you to a book that has been just a magnificent read for me, and I'm going to do that again. It's been my habit over the years to share resources like that with the church family. And Max Licato is an outstanding writer, and this is one of the books that I've been using. It's called You'll Get Through This. If you're a reader, I highly recommend this to you by Max Licato. You'll Get Through This. It's a great story, great study on the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. It's hope and help for the turbulent times that we find ourselves in. And as I taught last week, a little bit of an overview of Joseph's life and how things went. The Lord laid it on my heart. Maybe you need to spend some more time in there, because this short story in the book of Genesis about Joseph's life is just rich, folks. It's absolutely just overflowing with wonderful, wonderful spiritual truths. And I want to share some more of that with you this morning. So if you brought your Bible or you have a Bible handy with you, please turn to the chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. Chapter 37, I want to read just a few verses to begin with, verses 5 through 8. And we'll give that a little bit of a look, and then we'll come back to that and read some more. Genesis 37, verses 5 through 8. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. If you would, join me in a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you once again for this incredible privilege. Very specifically, Father, I pray these things. Open our eyes and our hearts to your truth, our minds to an understanding of your word. Holy Spirit, I ask you to make your word real in the lives of those listening today, saved or lost. Lord, there's great spiritual truth here. Father, I'm asking you also to speak to me, to speak through me as well, that we might truly have a worship experience, a life-changing worship experience. I've come to realize more than ever, Father, that it's not a matter of having a church building full. It's a matter of being the church and letting your word speak to us through prayer and through music and through the preached word or the taught word. Father, we thank you. We're missing out on the fellowship part of worship. Lord, we realize that soon enough we'll be able to come back together. So be with us today, Father. Help us to listen up close and personal. We love you. We thank you for all you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. The title of this is Down, Down, Down to Egypt. Joseph's troubles really started when his mouth did. To be quite honest about it, he told his brothers that he had a dream. Then he's going to tell them that he had another dream. If you look back at verse 4, which we did not read, it says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." So we know from the scripture very clearly that Joseph did not have a great relationship with his other brothers. All of them were older. And he made the mistake, basically, of sharing his dreams with his brethren. And it made it even worse. Have you ever wished there was something that you could unsay? You ever said something you wish you had not said and you could take it back? I think here in this particular story, Joseph is going to realize some things. But his brethren needed to realize some things also. God was working in Joseph's life. God gave him these dreams, and they would become more than just real. They would become life-changing and life-saving for many, many, many people. Joseph hung on to those dreams, and he knew that where they came from. If you look here, it talks about sheaves. I looked that up a little bit. I'm not much of a farmer here. Sheaves are bunches of cut grain that are bound up into a bundle here. And Joseph said that his sheaf arose and stood upright, and their sheaves also stood, but they made obeisance to his sheaf. In other words, they bowed down. It was a clear-cut act of submission. So Joseph is telling his older brothers, you know, my sheaf was here, and it stood up, and your sheaves were here, and they stood up, but they bowed down to my sheaf, okay? Now, Joseph is 17, okay? And all of his brothers are older. So how do you think that went over with them? I don't have a brother or a sister, never have had one, not in the flesh, got plenty of spiritual brothers and sisters. But I hear horror stories about brothers and sisters who don't get along, about things that were said and choices that were made, and issues with relationships. The question that jumped up at me is, did Joseph really expect his brethren to understand that? Did he expect them to jump up and say, "Wow, that's exciting. There's going to come a day when we're all going to bow down to you"? And I don't know how that went over with you or how it might go over with you. It wouldn't go over well with me. It's like they would be glad to hear that, and that's not a chance that that's going to happen. Even if they had loved him, that wouldn't happen. But we're told three times here, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 8, to hate him. Their dad loved him more than he loved all of his other sons. And they're envious. We're told later in verse 11 that they envied their brother. But most of all, they hated him. There was not a good relationship, or if a relationship at all here. So Joseph really couldn't expect his brethren to be overwhelmed or excited or positive about that whole process. So when he told them in verse 8 here that, when you get down to verse 8, they got two questions for him. Shall thou indeed reign over us? Do you really think that there's going to come a time when we're going to bow down to you and you're going to reign over us. Or they said it another way. Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? Is there going to be a point in time when you have all the power and you're the guy in charge and we are the subjects? Yeah. Well, how'd that go over with you? How did you hear that in your ears this morning? Probably the same way they did. Scripture's very clear. They hated him for it. And they hated him more. The verse is very clear. They hated him more, not only for his dreams, but for the fact that he actually spoke them out loud to them. Now, I get it. There are times when you and I would be better off if we just remain silent. I heard this a long time ago. Better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Now, I've heard that over and over and over again in my life. There are moments when timing is very, very important. That when you say and how you say what it is that you have to say, all of those things need to factor into the process. You can't communicate sometimes when people are angry. It's very difficult to communicate when there's a rift in a relationship and you're trying to make that better. There's nothing here that says Joseph made an effort to understand how his brothers could have been angry like that. There's nothing said here why about his brothers that could have said, hey, tell us a little bit more about this. We'd really love to know, you know, where this dream came from and what's this all about. Well, they already didn't like him. They already hated him. And this just made things a whole lot worse. You know, sometimes it'd be best if we just kept our thoughts to ourselves. When I went to Palm Beach Atlantic College, I had an Old Testament professor. His name was Tom Smothers. Now, that's not Dickie Smothers' brother. Some of you may know who I'm talking about. You've been around as long as I have. You'll know who I'm talking about. But his name was Tom Smothers. And I remember one day in our Old Testament class, we were talking about the truth, about telling the truth, how important it is to speak the truth. And he said these words, and it stuck with me, I guess, since 1970. He said, tell the truth, just don't always be telling it. And I think that would have been some wise counsel for Joseph. There are moments, my friends, that you and I just need to, if we know the truth, we need to have some discernment and some wisdom and some timing about when to share that. The truth is, some folks don't have a filter. Let's just get real and call it like it is. Sometimes we are those folks who don't have the filter, and yet they still really enjoy telling you what they think and when they think it and why they think it. And for Joseph here, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he probably would have been far better off if he'd have kept those dreams to himself. But he didn't. And the circumstances are what they are. And if that wasn't enough, now he's going to tell them about a second dream that he had. Look at verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it his brethren. And he said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Ooh. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him. And he said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. You ever been called a slow learner? I have, and it's accurate at times. Joseph should have kept his dreams to himself. His dad wasn't real thrilled with that, and he rebuked him for saying it out loud. It was hard for him to gather that up, hard for him to process that whole thing. But it did not say that his dad ignored it completely. It said he considered it. His brothers were envious of him, but dad considered it. I wonder if Joseph, you know, might have been thinking, when he was in the pit, which we're going to get to that in just a minute, maybe it would have been better off for me had I not said what I said. But hindsight's always 20/20, right? Always. So now he's going to live out the consequences, and you think that maybe sometimes when you're in that pit and you've created the pit because you didn't be quiet when you probably should have been quiet, you don't know what's going to happen, and now it comes down to the point where the rubber hits the road, and for Joseph, it goes from bad to worse. So let me read the story for you, because the Bible can tell it far better than I can. Verse 12 and following. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay them. Okay, make a long story short. Dad calls Joseph in. He said, listen, I need you to go see your brothers. I need you to go check on them, see how they are. Bring me back the information that you find out. So he goes out. He goes to Shechem, where he was told that they were feeding the flocks. He's wandering around out there trying to find them. They're not there. He sees a man. The man basically asks him, he says, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for my brothers who are feeding my dad's flock. He said, they're not here. They've gone to Dothan. So Joseph takes off to Dothan. And everything inside of me wants me not to say this, but I have to. We're not talking about Alabama. Just in case you're wondering, it's not Dothan, Alabama. Wherever you're at, Matt, if you're listening, that's for you, my brother, okay? So don't get excited. I couldn't stand it. I'm sorry. Just had to mess with my brother Matt just a little bit. So Dad sends him out there, and that's the deal. Here's the problem. They see him before he sees them. He doesn't know that they have evil plans, okay? And I'm thinking about it. How in the world could they see him first? They're supposed to be minding and tending a flock and feeding the flocks. Well, you remember he's got this multicolored coat that was given to him. And I can probably see that thing from a long way off. So the bad news for Joseph is he's been spotted on his way to them. The good news for them is he's been spotted on the way to them. And they've got evil plans here. They conspire to slay him. That's their plan. That's exactly what they're going to do. Or at least that's what their plan is. So let's read some more. Verse 19. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. They're still not over that, are they? Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto him, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So Reuben apparently grew a conscience in the middle of all this process, and he says to his brothers, no, we can put him in a pit, but we're not going to kill him. That's the wrong thing to do. We don't want that blood on our hands. Let's just put him in this pit. And his plan was, when we get this evil attack over with, when they get over this whole process, then I'm going to rescue him out of the pit. And we're going to take him back to Dad. Well, that was that plan. Verse 23, and it came to pass when Joseph came unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Talked a little bit about that last week in the introduction to this particular story. And they sat down to eat bread. Wow, well, that's cold, isn't it? Let's just take this dreamer. We'll see what's going to happen to his dreams. We've got a plan for you there, little brother. We're putting you in the pit. Your dreams are not going to come true. Nothing that you said is going to transpire. We hate you. Now's a great opportunity for us to take care of you, and we're going to do that. So they tossed him in a pit, and then they went to lunch. That's cold. Any way you look at it, that's cold. And I understand when you hate somebody, you do some pretty strong things. Well, thank God for Reuben. They put him in that pit. They sat down to eat. When they did that, they lifted up their eyes, and behold, it says there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, and they were going to carry that down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Okay, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content with that. So now we got another plan. First of all, they're going to slay him. Second of all, Reuben's okay with putting him in the pit because he has a plan to rescue him. And now they're going to put him in the pit. And while he's in the pit, the Ishmaelites come around. "Hey, listen, let's just make a buck off of him, okay? Let's not put that blood on our hands. Let's just sell him as a slave. Let's just sell him. And they'll haul him off down to Egypt. He'll be gone, and we'll no longer have to listen to him running his mouth about his dreams. Daddy's favorite will be gone, and our lives will be so much better." So that was their plan. It says, then they passed by, verse 28. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, back it up a little bit. They were content with the plan. So then they passed by the Midianite merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph down to Egypt. That's a pretty sad story. They liked the idea of getting rid of him. They liked the idea of taking from him his coat. They liked the idea of not putting his blood on their hands. They liked the idea that they could make a buck off of him and their problems would just go away. That was their position. Now, mind you, Joseph is still 17. That will be very important toward the end of this message. So they finally rid themselves of this annoying dreamer of a little brother. But they got a problem. Now they got to go back home. And who was it that sent Joseph out there? His dad. Who is it that the brothers are going to have to share this horrible story with? Their dad. What group of brothers do you know on the planet that's going to walk into a father and simply say, "Your favorite son is gone forever. We're sick and tired of listening to him. So we made a buck off of him. We sold him to some traders, and he's gone to Egypt." That's not going to happen. You know that, and I know that, and they know that. So they got a problem. They had the coat, so they agreed to do something with that. Look at verse 29. "And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes." Reuben knows this is not good. Not good. Where was he? Don't know. Scripture doesn't say. How long had he been gone? Don't know. Scripture doesn't say. Excuse me. When he came back to the pit, Joseph was gone. So he returned unto his brethren, verse 30. And he said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" In other words, he's not here. What am I going to do? How am I going to go face dad about this whole situation? What am I going to say to him? In verse 31, "And they took Joseph's coat, and they killed a kid of the goats, and they dipped the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat of many colors. And they brought it to their father and said, 'This have we found. Know now whether or not it be thy son's coat.'" They knew. They put it in front of Jacob, and they said, "Do you recognize this coat? Is this Joseph's coat?" That's cold. That's just as cold as what they did. Man. Verse 33, "And he knew it. And he said, 'It's my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.' And Jacob rent his clothes, and he put sackcloth on him, on his loins. And he mourned his son for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Some people read part of the story and they don't read the rest of the story and want to know how in the world did he wind up in Egypt. Well, this is how he wound up in Egypt. And for the next several weeks, next week it will be a Mother's Day message, but I'm going to come back to this whole process and tell you more and more about the story. I've encouraged you to read it, chapter 37 through 50 in the book of Genesis, one of the greatest short stories in all of the Bible whatsoever. It might be short in terms of scripture, but it's not short in times of how Joseph had to live it. So they concoct this story. They go back and they tell their dad, and it really is a difficult moment for his dad. But I want us to focus here for just a minute on Joseph. I want you to think about what this teenager is now living with and living through. Because the testimony of God's word, my friends, is that everything that Joseph did from here on out, God was with him. Randy, your song could not have been more perfect for the message today. My friend, God knows exactly where you are. He knows how you got to that place, whether you are indeed an absolutely true victim in the truest sense of the word, or whether or not the situation and the circumstances that you find yourself in this moment were indeed self-inflicted. Now that happens. Sometimes we are our worst enemy. I mean, let's just own that. I'm where I'm at sometimes because of the choices that I made. Sometimes I'm where I'm at because of the choices that somebody else made. And I am absolutely a true victim. I use this illustration. If you were driving and you were obeying the law, and the traffic light was green in the direction that you were going, and you went through the intersection, and somebody ran a traffic light and hit you in the driver's door, putting you in the hospital, you are, in the truest sense of the word, you are a true victim. You are where you are because of somebody else. Now, as I struggle with this a little bit, I'm wondering, is a few words out of the mouth of Joseph maybe not wisest thing to say and not the wisest time to say it? Are those few words enough for them brothers to hate him? Is the fact that he was the favored son enough for his brothers to hate him enough to where they wanted to kill him and they decided to sell him into slavery? Well, now what's this teenager going to do? Does he have options? Maybe part of this he created. So this is a combination. He opened his mouth when he should have been quiet. His brothers should have paid more attention because there's great truth in the dreams that he shared with them. Jacob, the father, began to listen a little bit. He gave it some consideration. But I want you to think about Joseph. Now he's been stripped of name, status, position, everything he had, everything he'd ever had is now gone, vanished. Just like that. He was there in that place as an act of obedience. His father called on him and his response was, not today, I'm busy. His response was, no, here am I. What do you need me to do, Dad? I need you to go check on your brothers. Done. I'm gone. I'm on my way. So think about it like this. He's where he's at when this whole process took place as an act of obedience. We understand that some consequences happen because we've been disobedient. But it's really hard to swallow when we're doing the right thing for the right reason and this kind of thing falls into our lap. Listen, the truth of the reality is that life pulls us down, my friends. Jesus said in this world, you're going to have trouble. Not maybe. You're going to have trouble. But he also said, but be a good cheer because I have overcome the world. What about this teenager? What about him? Not a penny to his name, nor would his name be worth a penny at this particular time. Not a single credential could he stand on in Egypt. Not, No vocation could he call on in Egypt. No family could he lean on in Egypt. He has lost everything but one thing. And I thank Max Lucado for opening up my eyes, because I wondered for a long time, how could this young man have such determination and such commitment to being what God wanted him to do when everything in his world literally fell apart? Sometimes you and I have a little bit of a crisis going on here and there, and we have to be very, very careful not to point our finger at God and say, why did you let this happen? And how long is this going to last? And what am I going to do in the whole process? Yeah, I get it. We're in a mess right now in this country. We're in a real mess. My prayer has been and will continue to be for myself and my family, as well as for you, for all of those of you who might be listening in. What are we going to learn while we're here? Lord, I didn't invite this virus. I don't have to like it. It's flipped my world a little bit upside down. I'm doing some things in ways that I don't really want to do them. But God, I can't change a whole lot of stuff, but I can be obedient. I can be smart. I can ask for wisdom and guidance and discernment. But what I really want to ask is, what is it that you want me to learn while I am here? Listen, folks, that's a very wise prayer, because God can do some things in the middle of circumstances like this that will flip your whole world upside down again, but it'll be in a good way. Do you believe that God is sovereign? Do you believe that he controls everything? Do you believe that he does not leave you on your own ever if you're his child? So how in this world is this? How's a 17-year-old going to function in a culture that he knows nothing about, in a language that he knows nothing about, when there's zero support for him while he is there? He has one thing that he has not lost, and that is his destiny. Now bear with me. This gets a whole lot more personal and a whole lot more meaningful. God had planned for Joseph's life, and we'll know more and more about that as the weeks go on. Joseph knew at 17 that God had a plan for his life. So what about this destiny? How do you see that happening? Remember those dreams? They're going to be very, very real in not too long period of time. So what happens if those dreams are real? Apparently Joseph thought they were, and he hung on to them like you would hang on to a life jacket in a terrible storm on the lake. At 17 years old, Joseph trusted God with his life. He was convinced that God had plans for him, although at this particular time, he didn't have a clear picture about what that was going to be. But he did have one thing that was absolutely clear, and that was an undying trust in God, that God knew exactly what it was that he was doing. Some of the times, folks, in our difficult moments, we learn some things we couldn't learn if things went smooth. God teaches us some stuff in the difficult moments that we just might not realize that could ever be taught. You know, I think about Joseph being alone from a purely human point of view. We think about him being alone, and I couldn't help it. I was sitting there a minute ago in the chair, and it came to my mind, the story, and I have to share this with you. It has a little bit of humor involved in it, but there's a real good point. The Lone Ranger and Tonto were riding around in the desert, and there was mountains all around them on every side. And next thing you know, they look up, and there's a whole group of Indians on the north, and there's a group of Indians on the south, and there's a group of Indians on the east, and a group of Indians on the west. And everywhere they looked, there was Indians. And the Lone Ranger looked over at Tonto and said, "What are we going to do?" And Tonto looked back and said, "What do you mean, we, white man?" That's how it gets every now and then. We think sometimes we have support. Well, sometimes we don't. And at that very moment, I'm sorry, but the Lone Ranger felt as alone as Joseph would ever have felt. That might seem like a weird story, got a little humor involved in it, but it's to the point. What good would his faith in God do him, because he's surrounded by a culture he knows nothing about? He's been sold out by his family. Now he's been purchased by an officer of Pharaoh's named Potiphar. So he went from son to slave. Like that. So how does he survive? Because he had a genuine, real, live faith in his God. Y'all know this, most of you. I had the privilege to do student ministry for 25 years. I've been around some young people who had a genuine, real, honest, active faith in God. Kids who had a depth that would blow your mind. Kids who went through hardships that you wouldn't even believe. Come from families that were disintegrated from the inside, but yet they had a living, walking faith in Jesus Christ. Don't you ever tell me, my friends, that young people can't have a real faith. I know better. This young man here, Joseph, had a real faith. He knew that there was a destiny for him. He knew that God had his hand on him. And when it couldn't have looked any worse, rather than losing his composure and giving up in the middle of the fight, Joseph would continue to trust God. My question is, do you believe in God's destiny for your life? Are you clear with it? Do you know what it is you're supposed to be doing with what God gave you? Do you realize that life's difficulties can remove a lot of stuff from you? You can find yourself hitting rock bottom, and I love Tony Evans' statement. Sometimes God will let you hit rock bottom so that you will realize that he's the rock at the bottom. I love that. What a great statement. Joseph would realize that God was the rock at the bottom. He knew that before he ever got to Egypt. And now that faith would be put to the test. My friends, our faith is put to the test on a regular basis. How we respond to the things that come into our life, those things happen on a regular basis. You know, Max Lucado asked this question in the book. He said, what do you still have that you cannot lose? Powerful question. What do you still have that you cannot lose? Joseph knew somehow that there was one gift that God had given him that none of his troubles could take away. And that was his destiny. That was why he was on the planet. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that God had a plan for his life. And although all of the pieces of the puzzle were yet to be put in place, rather than paying close attention to only the things that were wrong, this young man sends forth a message for you and I and all who would listen that we need to understand there's one thing that nothing on this planet can take away from you and I, and that's the reason why we're here, what God's plan is for us and how we are dealing with it. Here's the beautiful thing. If you're God's child, know this. He picked you. He saw you, and he placed you in his family. John 15:16 is so powerful. It said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bear fruit. That's in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. You're not a substitute. You're not a replacement. You're not a fill-in. You are his choice. God intentionally chose you. He wasn't obligated. He wasn't required. He wasn't forced. He wasn't compelled. He selected you because he wanted you. You are his open, willful, voluntary choice. He came to you, my friends. You did not come to him. The scripture says no one comes unto the Lord unless he is drawn by the Holy Spirit. I've had people tell me, preacher, I'm not worried about my salvation right now. I'm not worried about, trusting God. When I get good and ready, I'll be saved. Not according to God's word, my friend. It does not work that way. It's not up to you, because you'll come to salvation when the Holy Spirit of God lays a level of conviction on you from the truth of the word of God, so that you realize in that moment that he's reaching out to you, that you are absolutely as lost as yesterday, and without him there is no hope. That's how that works. 1 Peter 1:19 says, by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, you are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. More good news. 2 Corinthians 5:1, if he chooses you, and he does, you are his child forever. Your struggles won't last forever, my friends, but you will. I want you to hear that again. Your struggles will not last forever, but you will. And if you know him, you've got a dynamite retirement plan that is out of this world, because when you draw your last breath here, the word of God says to be absent from the body is to be present with the spirit. We will leave this planet in our spirit, and we will go to be with Jesus for all eternity. Joseph knew something. I wanted to say Daniel. Joseph knew something maybe that we don't often know. We don't pay much attention to it. God is there no matter what kind of circumstances you find in your life. If you are his child, you are encouraged to call out to him so that he can help you in ways that you can't help yourself. If you're lost, he's calling out to you now for you to become his child. That's his plan all along for you. Your destiny would be for you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then to live your life doing what he brought you here for. Joseph understood that, even without all the pieces of the puzzle. I want to read something for you out of here. Powerful. If I can get the right page. This is Max Lucado's father that he's talking about here. He said, my father walked that road to Egypt like Joseph. Family didn't betray him, but his health did. He'd just retired. He and mom had saved their money and made their plans. They wanted to visit every national park in their travel trailer. But then came the diagnosis, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. It's ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a cruel degenerative disease that affects the muscles. Within months, he was unable to feed, dress, or bathe himself. His world, as he knew it, was gone. At the time, my wife, Denlin, and I were preparing to do mission work in Brazil. When we got the news, I offered to change my plans. How could I leave the country while he was dying? Dad's reply was immediate and confident. He wasn't known for long letters, but this one took up 4 pages and it included this following imperative from him. He said, in regard to my disease and you're going to Rio, that's really an easy answer for me, and that is go. I have no fear of death or eternity, so don't be concerned about me. Just go and please him. So Dad lost his health, retirement, years with his children and grandchildren, years with his wife. The loss was severe, but it wasn't complete. Dad, I could have asked, what do you have that you cannot lose? He still had God's call on his life and on his heart. This young man, Joseph, understood that he wasn't in Egypt by mistake, that he had not been abandoned by the God that he loved and served, irregardless of the circumstances and the situation that he found himself in at that present time. Sometimes we forget about our destiny and we choose something that's a whole lot smaller than what God has planned for our life. Trust me, a lot of years ago, the last person that would have ever believed that I could stand here and share the Word of God with you in front of anybody was me. I never had a plan in my life ever until I got saved that God would ever have me doing this. I had no thought that it could be even remotely possible. We sometimes redefine ourselves according to the catastrophes that we find ourselves in. Words like divorcee, addict, bankrupt, disabled, scarred, broken. Really, and what we need to be saying here is a different thing. My life is more than this. My life is much more than what I see in front of my eyes right now. This too will eventually pass. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stay faithful to my Lord, and I'm going to trust him no matter what. Joseph's not the only guy who did that. I think of Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Those were the words of Job. So brothers and sisters, I just want to share with you this morning, you know, Joseph understood God's hand. Without all the pieces of the puzzle. Never ever forget that you have what no one can take from you. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, no one. He said, no one can pluck you out of my hand. That is your destiny. It's God's plan for your here and now. For Joseph, it was not only that, but there was a time that was all he had, was God's plan. Trusting God is so much more valuable than most of us realize. So I guess, by and large, it comes down to this final question. Would you trust him? If you have not trusted him today, would you trust him? Would you realize that life is so much more than maybe what you're realizing right now? You know, would you ask him to help you get through today and tomorrow and all the things that you may face? And that remember that this world takes from you everything that you know about and everything that you have. There's one thing that they can never take from you, and that's your destiny. And I believe, my friends, with all my heart, that your destiny is for you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then every single thing that comes your way, victim or self-inflicted, you have somebody to lean on, somebody to trust in, somebody to ask for strength and wisdom and discernment and guidance, who will not turn his back on you ever. He is ready and waiting and willing to do in you what I believe you'll never be able to do yourself. What do you have that you can't lose? Jesus. Do you know him? I pray that you do. I'm going to pray a prayer here in just a moment. If you don't know the Lord Jesus and you'd like to know the Lord Jesus, it's the Spirit of God has made the Word of God real to you today, and you would say to me, Preacher, I know I'm lost. I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior. I know I need to do this. I'm feeling it right here, and I'm knowing it right here. Well, this is for you, my friends. If a 17-year-old can do it, so can you. Pray this prayer after me if you mean it. Just voice it to yourself or out loud. Just voice this prayer if it's your desire to know the Lord. Father, I realize that I'm lost without you. I don't know you. I admit that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I admit that I can't save myself. And I do believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, that you are the Messiah, that you are the Savior. I believe that now. And I confess with my lips that I need to know you. I confess my sins and my failures before you, and I ask you to forgive me of those very things that have kept me apart from you. And today, right now, in this moment, I gladly receive you as my Lord and Savior. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Would you come into my heart and save me today, right now, in this moment? And I'll thank you for loving me that much. Give me the strength and the power to live that kind of a life that I know I can't lose. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. My friends, if you prayed that prayer this morning, it's my privilege to be pastor here at Lena Vista Baptist Church. If you're a member here and you prayed that prayer, please let me know. Let somebody here know so that we can celebrate that decision with you. If you don't have a church family anywhere, you don't have a pastor anywhere, find one. Find me. Find someone that you can tell about your choice to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Tell somebody. Don't let another day go by until you make that good news known to somebody who can celebrate along with you. Thank you so much for joining us today. I pray that God will put a marvelous blessing upon your life. We'll be back again tonight at 6 o'clock for our Sunday evening service. And we pray that if you can, we'd love to have you listen in again. May God bless you and you have a great day. Thank you.